Assalamu alaikum students. On behalf of the Ministry of Science and Technology, Virtual University and Mubashir Humayun, I welcome you to another lecture in Financial Management. Aaj hum Capital Asset Pricing Model aur Beta ka mauzu jari rakhenge. I am referring to Beta as Beta instead of Beta, which is what it is called in the American English. Because I don't want to create a confusion between the Greek letter beta and the word beta in the Urdu language. So we're going to talk about betas and capital asset pricing model today. And again, please keep your seatbelt still fastened. The plane is still in takeoff mode. And I will let you know when you can relax as far as your speed of thinking. We are still going through some important theoretical concepts, and you might find them to be a little bit complicated. Please go over my slides carefully, and if you are still unable to understand the concepts, then refer to chapters 4 and chapters 5 in the 8th edition of Brigham and Gepensky's Financial Management Theory and Practice. Before we pick up on the new material for this lecture, let me just recap some of the concepts that we covered at the close of the previous lecture. We mentioned that in efficient capital markets, the investors will take on extra risk only if they are compensated in the form of extra return. We also mentioned that the market will only compensate an investor to the extent that he will receive an extra return for the amount of extra market risk that he takes on by investing in a new stock. However, the market will not pay the investor any extra return for taking on unnecessary risk in the form of company-specific or unique risk. Therefore, it is best for investors to act rationally and to maintain diversified portfolios of many stocks. This way, they can eliminate the company-specific portion of the risk, and they can make investments in stocks at a lowered required rate of return. We mentioned that the market portion of the risk can be represented through the beta coefficient, and this is the cornerstone for the capital asset pricing model. Capital asset pricing model is a theory that was developed by Harry Markowitz and Bill Sharp, for which they received a Nobel Prize in 1990, and it establishes the risk and return relationship for efficient stocks in a capital market. We mentioned that the beta represents the tendency of a stock to move with the market. We also mentioned that markets move as a whole. On the average, the market's rate of return moves with time, and it moves because of certain macroeconomic factors, inflation, general interest rate, socio-politics of the country, the possibility of war, and so on. These factors will create overall movements in the market, and therefore markets have a certain expected rate of return which changes with time, and because the expected rate of return changes, there are different possible future outcomes for the overall market return. This creates a risk because of a spread in the possible outcomes. So there's also a risk associated with the market that is known as the market risk. So this is important as a link between the portfolio theory and the capital asset pricing model. We mentioned that the total risk of a stock is equal to the company-specific risk plus the market risk. But when we talk about rational investors, in efficient markets, then the important and relevant risk is the market risk, and the beta measures this. Beta coefficients have values anywhere between 0.5 to 1.5 or 2 on the average. However, betas can be larger. Betas can be as high as 5.0 on the plus side. Betas can also have negative values, although it is extremely rare to find a stock with a negative beta value. Because what that means is that a stock with a negative value consistently moves in the opposite direction of the market. We mentioned that you can measure the movement in the market, in the overall market, by looking at the overall stock market index. And in the case of the Karachi Stock Exchange, you have the KSE 100 index, which is a weighted average of a few different high volume stocks that are being traded in the market. The most important and the largest stocks are part of this portfolio, but not every single stock in the Karachi Stock Exchange is part of the KSE 100 index. Therefore, the KSE 100 index is an approximate for a fully diversified portfolio, but it is by no means a perfect, fully diversified portfolio. We mentioned that the capital asset pricing model is based on the premise that the beta for the market is equal to positive 1.0. We can then look at the betas for different stocks and compare them to the market. For example, if the beta of a stock A is equal to positive 2.0, then it means that this stock is two times as risky or two times as volatile as the overall market. In other words, if a stock has a beta of 2.0, then if the market moves up by 10%, then the price of this stock will move up by 20%. I am loosely referring to the return on the stock in the form of the price of the stock. Similarly, if the beta of a stock B is equal to positive 1.0, then it is exactly as risky as the market, and it moves exactly in line, in tandem with the market. If the beta of another stock, C, is minus 0.5, for example, then this stock moves half as much as the market and in the opposite direction. In other words, for a stock with a beta of minus 0.5, if the market moves up by 10%, then this stock will move down by 5%. So, betas are important markers for telling us how the price of a stock is sensitive to the market movements. So, hum ne beta coefficient aur concept ke baare mein ابھی تک بات کی ہے اور آئیے اب یہ دیکھتے ہیں کہ بیٹا کو کیلکولیٹ کس طریقے سے کیا جائے. Our approach for calculating the beta will be quite straightforward. Let us assume that we analyze the movements in the Karachi Stock Exchange Index for a period of 3 years, and we also analyze the price movements for a stock A in the Karachi Stock Exchange for the same period of time of 3 years. Then we will look at the change in the price of the stock and compare it to the change in the price of the market for each one of the 3 years separately. And then we can plot those points on a graph where the expected return on the stock is on the y-axis and the expected return on the market is on the x-axis. We are using the price of the stock and the value of the index as representative measures for the expected return. So let us take a look at this graph and see how we can derive the beta coefficient from it. So we can calculate the stock beta graphically. If you take a look at the graph, we have plotted 3 years of data for the changes in the Karachi Stock Exchange 100 market index and the expected return on stock A. The expected return on stock A is on the y-axis and it's represented by RA star, and the expected return on the KSE 100 market index is represented by RM star. The star refers to the expected part of the rate of return. You will note that in both cases, the expected returns have been benchmarked against the risk-free rate of return, or R sub RF. That is because we picked the risk-free rate of return as the common starting point for changes in expected rate of returns. Now, I have shown the 3 points on the graph, one for each year in the analysis. And after plotting these points on the graph, we can then do what is known as the linear regression or least squares fit of a straight line that best fits through these 3 points. You can refer to your textbook on probability and statistics, or even a staple mathematics book, to figure out how to do a least squares fit or linear regression. So the important thing to note is that the slope of the line represents the beta coefficient. And as you know, the slope is generally defined as the change in the y divided by a change in x. And for our graph, that is equal to the percent change in the expected rate of return for stock A divided by the percent change in the expected rate of return for the market. The beta represents the risk of a stock relative to the market. And in terms of the risk-free rate of return, we can define the beta as the expected rate of return for stock A minus the risk-free rate of return divided by the expected rate of return for the market minus the risk-free rate of return. So what we have done at this point is to use historical data for the rate of return of a stock as measured by the dividend yield plus the capital gains yield, or quite simply you can use the stock price as a representative of its rate of return. And we have graphed that against the changes in the overall market index rate of return. And we have used the value of the market index as a representative of the market expected rate of return. We have plotted them out on the graph and sketched an approximate line through all of the points. And that least squares line has a slope which is equal to the beta coefficient. The y-intercept of this line, by the way, represents what is known as alpha. And alpha is the company-specific portion of the risk in the absence of any changes in the market. Now, we have just calculated the beta for a single stock. And we can use this to calculate the beta for a portfolio of many stocks. There are two basic approaches to calculating the beta for a portfolio of many stocks. One of them is to use the same approach as you did for the single stock, which is to define the portfolio of stocks that you are talking about, and then to measure changes in the expected rate of return of this portfolio against changes in the stock market index. So you can collect the historical data, plot the points on the graph, sketch a line through the points that best fits through them, and the slope of this line will represent the beta for the portfolio. That is one approach. The other approach is to take advantage of the data that you have calculated for the individual stocks and to use a simple formula to calculate the beta of the portfolio. The portfolio beta can be calculated based on a simple weighted average of the betas of the individual stocks in that portfolio. Taking a look at the formula for the portfolio beta, that is equal to beta P, which is equal to XA beta A plus XB beta B plus XC beta C plus so on. Here, the beta A represents the beta or market risk of stock A, and XA represents the fraction or the weight of stock A in the total portfolio value. You should realize at this point that it is very, very simple to calculate the portfolio beta because we are using a simple weighted average formula, which is not at all complicated compared to the horrendous formula that we saw for calculating the portfolio risk, sigma P, when we came up with the formula with the under root sign, or when we were talking about the standard deviation for a portfolio using the matrix approach. So, just to give you a rest away from theory, let us apply what we have learned to a simple numerical calculation. Let us calculate the portfolio risk in terms of the beta for a two-stock portfolio consisting of stock A and stock B. Looking at the data for the two-stock investment portfolio, for stock A, the value of the investment is 30 rupees. The expected rate of return, R star, is equal to 20%, and the beta for stock A is equal to 2.0. The total risk or standard deviation of stock A is 20%. For stock B, the value of the investment is 70 rupees. The expected rate of return for stock B, which is equal to RB star, is equal to 10%. The total risk attached with stock B is 5%, and the beta for stock B is 0.5. Total value of our investment is 100 rupees, and the correlation coefficient, rho AB, for our portfolio is equal to plus 0.6. You will notice that this example is an extension of the example that we did earlier for calculating the portfolio risk, sigma P. Now, just to refresh your memory, when we calculated the mean or expected rate of return for the portfolio, it came out to be 13%. That is equal to RP star. Earlier on, we had also calculated the portfolio risk, sigma P, and that came to be 8.57%. Remember that the portfolio risk is representing the spread in the possible outcomes of the expected return. Now we can calculate the portfolio beta, which is a measure of the market portion of the portfolio risk. That is equal to XABA plus XBBB, which is equal to 30 divided by 100 times 2 plus 70 divided by 100 times 0.5, and that is equal to plus 0.95. So that is the beta of this portfolio of two stocks. Now, let's take a look at our result. Our result is that the beta for our portfolio of two stocks A and B is equal to positive 0.95. What does this mean? What this means is that the volatility or the risk of our portfolio is slightly less than the overall market risk. Why is that? Because you will remember that I mentioned that in the capital asset pricing model, we define the risk of the market to be exactly 1.0. And in this case, the beta of our portfolio is less than 1. Therefore, our portfolio is less risky than the market. You will also note how much simpler it is to calculate the risk of a portfolio in terms of the beta, because it follows a simple weighted average formula, as opposed to the standard deviation of a portfolio, sigma p, which has a very, very complicated formula attached to it that includes the correlation coefficient and covariance terms. Now, let us move ahead with this numerical example and ask ourselves what would happen if we add a new or third investment into our portfolio. Supposing that we add another stock, C, to our portfolio, then let's see what impact this new stock has on the risk and the return of our existing portfolio. So if you take a look at the slide, you will see the data for the third investment, stock C. Stock C has an investment value of 40 rupees and an expected rate of return R sub C star of 30% and a beta of plus 1.5. This beta of plus 1.5 means that the stock C is relatively more risky than the market. Please also note that we have reduced our investment in stock B down to 30 rupees so that our total value of investment is still 100 rupees. In other words, the mix of our portfolio has naturally changed because we have added a third stock, C, and maintained our total value at 100 rupees. So for the three-stock portfolio, we can calculate the beta, which is equal to beta P, that is equal to XABA plus XBBB plus XCBC, where B represents the beta coefficients. If you insert the relevant numbers into the variables, you will come up with an answer for the portfolio beta of 1.35. Now, let us take a look at the results of our computation of the portfolio beta and the portfolio rate of return after we've added a new stock C to our portfolio. You will note that first, our beta for the two-stock portfolio was 0.95, which was less risky than the market. And after adding stock C, which had a beta of 1.5, which is more risky than the market, it added to the overall market risk of our portfolio, and the beta for our portfolio increased to 1.35. Therefore, by adding a stock that is more risky than the portfolio, you will increase the beta risk of a portfolio. In this particular case, we increased the beta risk of our portfolio by adding the third stock C, and we also increased the expected rate of return for the portfolio. So at least the increased rate of return to some extent would compensate for the increased risk. So we have just spoken about calculating the portfolio beta and the expected portfolio rate of return. This expected rate of return is calculated using the simple weighted average formula and probabilities, and it is basically a weighted average or mean of the expected returns of the individual investments in the portfolio. Now we also need to take a look at another kind of return which we spoke about early in this course, and that is the required rate of return. There is a difference between the expected rate of return and the required rate of return. The expected rate of return is what we have been talking about for the last few lectures and what we have calculated using probability and simple weighted averages. It is the rate of return that is expected in the future based on the likelihood of the possible outcomes and the probabilities attached to them. However, the required rate of return is quite subjective and personal to the investors. Why? Because this is the rate of return that the investor requires based on what? Based on his personal or individual risk preference and risk profile, based on his personal opportunity cost of capital. Remember, we mentioned that the required rate of return or the opportunity cost of capital varies from one person to the other because every individual has a different preference for risk taking. Some people have a tendency to be gamblers and to bet on cricket matches. Other people are very conservative and they prefer to keep their money in national savings certificates or a PLS account. And the required rate of return of the individuals will vary depending on their psychological risk profile. However, the required rate of return can be linked to the beta risk. And why is that? Well, because based on the portfolio theory and the capital asset pricing models that we have spoken about, we mentioned that there is generally a direct relationship between risk and return. And we mentioned that if an investor takes on an extra amount of risk, then he also expects an extra amount of return. And therefore, you can formulate the required rate of return in terms of the beta risk. So, how can you use the beta coefficient to calculate the required rate of return for the average investor in the market? Because remember, we are coming up with a model that is representative for most investors in the market. The answer to using the beta to calculate the required rate of return is the security market line. The security market line, or SML, is a part of the capital asset pricing model, and it is in fact the most critical part and the most fundamental part of the capital asset pricing model. The SML is a straight line relationship between risk and return that is supposed to contain all possible combinations of efficient stocks in the market. In other words, the security market line tells you that in an efficient market with rational investors who have diversified portfolios and eliminated the company-specific portion of the risk, then the risk and return combination of any efficient stock must lie on the security market line. If the combination of risk and return for any stock does not lie on the SML, then that stock is not efficiently priced. In other words, what we are saying is that for most of the investors in the market, their required rate of return for investment in a stock A is directly proportional to the beta risk for that stock A. In other words, the required rate of return for stock A is directly proportional and linearly proportional to the beta risk for that stock. Here we are coming up with a relationship between the required rate of return in the minds of the investor and the market risk component of a particular stock. This is the foundation stone for the capital asset pricing model and the security market line. You will recall that we are not unfamiliar with the straight line relationship between risk and return when we were talking about the portfolios earlier on, and when we calculated the portfolio risk for a portfolio with a positive correlation coefficient, we came up with a continuously increasing monotonic relationship between portfolio risk and portfolio return. So that model is similar to the security market line. Now, let's take a look at the formula that allows us to calculate the required rate of return for a stock A based on the beta coefficient for that stock A. The SML, or security market line, linear equation for the required rate of return of any stock A is equal to RA, and that is equal to R sub RF plus RM minus RF multiplied by the beta coefficient of A. And it's important to understand each one of the terms. RA is equal to the required rate of return for the investors who are investing in stock A. Notice that this RA terms does not have a star attached to it. I've used the star to indicate expected rate of returns, which are different from required rate of returns. R sub RF refers to the risk-free rate of return. In other words, the T-bill rate of return. R sub M is the return that the investors require from the investment in an average stock in the market. In other words, this is the market rate of return on a portfolio of all of the stocks in the market. And please remember that the beta for the market, or beta M, is equal to plus 1 always. Beta A refers to the beta for stock A. In other words, the market risk portion of the stock A and how much it moves relative to the market. You can also take a look at the combined terms RM minus R sub RF. That is known as the risk premium, and it is an important term to understand. The risk premium represents the additional return in excess of or over the risk-free rate of return that the investor requires as a compensation for taking on the additional risk. At this point, I would like to stop the new material for this lecture and let us review the concepts that we have talked about in this lecture. So, we began this lecture by mentioning that in the case of efficient markets, the investors are rational, and rational investors try to eliminate as much of the risk as they can, specifically by diversifying the portfolio, in other words, by investing in more than one stock, possibly up to 40 unrelated, uncorrelated stocks. It is possible for an investor to virtually eliminate the common or the company-specific risk portion of the total risk. Then the only component of risk that remains is the market risk. And this is the risk that becomes important in the pricing of the shares and the expected rate of returns in an efficient market. An efficient market will not pay any extra return to an investor who has not managed to eliminate unnecessary risk, which in this case is the company-specific risk. We mentioned that the capital asset pricing model uses the beta coefficient to represent the market risk component of any stock. The beta coefficient for any stock can be estimated graphically by plotting the changes in the expected rate of return for any stock against the changes in the expected rate of return of the market. The expected rate of return for a stock can be calculated using Gordon's formula of dividends yield plus the capital gains, or you can use the share price as an approximation to the rate of return on the stock, because the share price is a measure of the capital gains, which is the difference between the buying and the selling price. Similarly, the expected return on the market can be estimated by monitoring the changes in the stock market index. Although the stock market index is not a fully diversified portfolio, it is close to being a diversified portfolio. So after calculating the different combinations of the change in the expected rate of return of the stock and the expected rate of return on the market, we can then plot these points on the graph, and we can fit the least squares estimate of a straight line, or we can use linear regression to fit the best line through these set of points, and the slope of this line then represents the beta coefficient for that stock. So in other words, then the beta for stock A is equal to the expected rate of return for stock A minus the risk-free rate of return, all divided by the expected rate of return of the market minus the risk-free rate of return. And that is equal to RA star minus R sub RF divided by RM star minus R sub RF. So we can use this graphical technique to estimate the beta of any one stock by looking at the historical data for the changes in the required in the expected rate of return for a stock and the expected rate of return for the market. Then we can use the betas that we have calculated for individual stocks to calculate the beta for the portfolio of many different stocks. Quite simply, the portfolio beta is equal to the simple weighted average of the betas of the individual stocks in that portfolio. So beta P, or the portfolio beta, is equal to XA beta A plus XB beta B plus XC beta C and so on, where X represents the fraction of the investment in that particular stock as a percentage of the total value of investment, and the beta sub A would represent the individual stock beta for the company A's share. Now, alternatively, you could also use the graphical technique to estimate the beta for the portfolio using the same approach that you use for a stock. The point to understand and remember is that it is so much easier to calculate the portfolio beta, which is a measure of the market component of the risk of a portfolio. You will recall that calculating the standard deviation of a portfolio, sigma P, was a much more complicated exercise involving correlation coefficients, covariances, square roots, and possibly a horrendous matrix. We did a couple of numerical examples for calculating the portfolio beta, and we mentioned that if you add a stock to a portfolio and the beta of that stock is higher than the beta of your existing portfolio, then you will increase the overall beta for your portfolio. That is because it is an outcome of the simple weighted average formula. Finally then, we talked about the difference between the expected rate of return, which we have been calculating for the last few lectures based on simple weighted average and probabilities, and we mentioned that it is different from the required rate of return. The required rate of return is a function of the individual's personal psychological risk profile and the person's individual opportunity cost for capital. Every person has different opportunities for investing their money elsewhere. Every individual has different avenues and opportunities for investment, and every individual has a different risk preference. Some people are more inclined to gamble with their money, and others are more conservative in investing their money. So the required rate of return is a lot more subjective. However, the capital asset pricing model allows us to estimate what the required rate of return for most of the investors in the market, in other words, rational investors, what their required rate of return would be for any particular stock based on what the market component of the risk for that stock is. In other words, the security market line model, which is part of the capital asset pricing, assumes that there is a direct relationship between the beta risk or the market risk and the required rate of return for most of the investors investing in a particular stock. We mentioned that you can estimate the required rate of return for investment in any stock A, and that is equal to R sub A, and that is equal to the risk-free rate of return, R sub RF, plus the risk premium multiplied by the beta for stock A. The risk premium is defined as the RM minus R sub RF, in other words, the market rate of return minus the risk-free rate of return. In the following lecture, we will talk in more detail about the capital asset pricing model and the security market line, or the SML. I urge you to still kindly keep your seatbelts fastened, because we have another lecture or two to go of theory before we complete the theoretical underpinnings of risk and return. So I would urge you to please go over the slides that have been sent to you, and also to go through chapters 4 and 5 in Brigham and Kapinski, Financial Theory and Management, 8th edition. With this, I close this lecture on financial management, where we talked about portfolio theory and the capital asset pricing model. On behalf of the Ministry of Science and Technology, Virtual University, and Mubashir Humayun, I thank you for your kind attention and patience. Khuda hafiz, or assalamu alaikum.